The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some in the crowd who heard these words of Jesus said, "This is truly the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But others said, "The Christ will not come from Galilee, will he? Does not Scripture say that Christ will be of David's family and come from Bethlehem, the village where David lived?" So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them even wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So the guards went to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" The guards answered, "Never before has any man spoken like this man." So the Pharisees answered, "Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which does not know the law, is accursed." Nicodemus, one of their members who had come to him earlier, said to them, "Does our law condemn a man before it first hears him and finds out what he's doing?" They answered and said to him, "You're not from Galilee also, are you? Look and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." Then each went to his own house. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We began yesterday another cycle within various Lenten cycles. In the first reading, we will start having the explicit prophecies about the sufferings Jesus would undergo, and that we, when we're united with him, would likewise have to endure in some form. Yesterday, we had the incredible graphic description from the Book of Wisdom. Today, we have the words of the prophet Jeremiah. The Lord Jesus knew that they were plotting against him, but he, like a trusting lamb led to the slaughter, allowed the tree to be cut down in its vigor. But he knew, Jeremiah did, that the Lord would take vengeance because he had trusted his cause. Little did Jeremiah know at the time what vengeance the Lord would take, that he would suck up in himself all the vengeance, all the hatred, all the sin, and take vengeance by loving those who had made himself their enemies, his enemies, by saving those who are precisely cutting down that tree in its vigor. Today in the Gospel, we see what's happening to that lamb on the approach to the slaughter, that life-giving tree as it's about to be chopped down. Jesus, as we know, had gone up to the temple after everyone else had gone because he knew that they were hunting him down. But he also wasn't going to fail to show up. But he was there speaking in the temple precincts after he had healed. And there was a huge debate about him. There's always a debate about Jesus in every age. But we see here an outline of what normally happens in that debate. Someone says, "This is truly the prophet." Mentioned you a couple days ago that when Jesus was saying, "Moses testified about me and you didn't believe in Moses," that Moses had talked about the prophet coming after him and him you should listen to. And they'd always been waiting. They asked John the Baptist, "Are you the prophet?" He said, "No, I'm not even fit to untie his sandal straps." So people were wondering whether Jesus was the prophet, which is the way of saying the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Others are saying he is the Messiah. But then a whole bunch of others with their own human categories were saying, "The Messiah can't possibly come from Galilee, can he?" Now on that point they were right. Everybody knew the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. But few knew that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem because of the census. They didn't care to find out. They didn't go up and ask him the question. Everybody just said he was a carpenter from Nazareth, and that's what shut them off. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Others would say, "Christ can't be from Galilee." So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. There's always a division. Some wanted even to arrest him. So they sent the guards, and this is the first reaction of people to Jesus. When they were asked, why didn't they bring him in? The guards. Now remember, guards aren't theologians, right? Guards aren't the people who are necessarily going to be on their knees all day in church. They're probably men playing cards, using foul language, getting involved in things that sometimes soldiers would regularly get into on their time off. And yet when they went, and before they were to arrest him, they were just going to listen to see what he had to say. They were blown away. Never before has anyone spoken like this man. And they refused to lay a hand on him because they knew that someone who spoke like that couldn't be really guilty of anything. That they were going to be arresting a really good man, perhaps even the prophet or the Messiah. We remember that our fundamental reaction whenever we hear Jesus' words needs to be amazement and astonishment. We need to say, no one before has ever spoken like this man. And if we really mean those words, then it's going to show in how seriously we take his words in the gospel and in the Bible. You know, our fundamental use of our capacity to read must be to read God's word. Before we read the newspaper, before we check out various websites, we should be using that ability for what will astonish us and lift us up and give us guidance in this world. If we're not reading the gospel every day, we're self-deceived if we think we're astonished by it. Second reaction. So the Pharisees said to these guards, have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd which doesn't know the law is damned. It's accursed. They were just categorically going to reject anything. They had that hardened soil that the seed of the Word of God couldn't penetrate. And they were upset that anybody else would find anything good in what Jesus was saying. They'd already made up their minds and they were right. And no one was going to be able to convince them otherwise. And if somebody disagreed with them, well, then the simple conclusion was that they were damned. Has any one of the authorities or the Pharisees believed? You don't have the right to your own opinion. Have the authorities and the Pharisees believed in them? If they haven't, then you can't, you idiots. That's what they were saying. Totally closed. We've got a whole bunch of people today who are totally closed to the words of Jesus. We've got people who won't let Jesus change them at all. We've got many in our culture with the new orthodoxy pushing homosexuality. As we saw a couple days ago when the Mozilla CEO had to resign because he gave 6 years ago a $1,000 contribution to the effort to defend marriage in California. And the employees rose up as if he was some type of member of the Ku Klux Klan. As if he had some type of prison there in the Mozilla Corporation where he was beating on those with same-sex attractions. No, he just couldn't have an opinion that marriage is between a man and a woman until death. He was driven out. We even had a sister, beautiful, young Nashville Dominican, teaching about sexuality at Charlotte Catholic High School in North Carolina. And after she had talked about the church's teachings on homosexuality in a Catholic school, 1,800 students led up a protest and their parents were outraged. Because they've already made up their mind that God's wrong about human sexuality. That the church is wrong about human sexuality. Because they've bought hook, line, and sinker, the mentality of the sexual revolution, and they don't want to hear anything. Same type of thing can happen on abortion. Same type of thing can happen on immigration. Same type of thing can happen on the death penalty. Same type of thing can happen wherever I crisscross in the country. People have their own opinions and they won't even open themselves up to what Jesus is teaching, what the Pope is teaching, what the bishops are teaching, what anybody else is teaching. It's perennially a source of division because of the hardness of people's hearts. And we have a third reaction today. It's the reaction of Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus was the one who, though a member of the Sanhedrin, went to Jesus. In a sense, he was fascinated by Jesus. He knew that there was something different about him. But he went to Jesus at night. He didn't want to be seen with Jesus. He went at night. He was interested, but he didn't want to suffer any loss of his position. He didn't want to suffer any derision because of Jesus. He's always called the reluctant disciple, the tentative disciple. So here, when Nicodemus could stand up and say, "You're all wrong about Jesus," and start to show it, instead, it's not like he totally cowardly does nothing, but he only kind of goes halfway. Talking about a legal argument. Does our law condemn a man before it first hears him and finds out what he's doing? And then they answered him and said, "You are not from Galilee also, are you? Look and see that no prophet arise from Galilee." And what was Nicodemus's reaction? "Oh no, don't hurt me." Doesn't say anything else. He's a tentative disciple. He's fascinated by what Jesus says. I think he would agree with the guards that no one had ever spoken like that man before. But he wasn't willing at this point to stick up for the one who would give his life for him. He was more cowardly than courageous. When we look at these figures, we need to see, okay, am I astonished by what Jesus says? Astonished. Second, am I resistant to it? Third, do I only accept it by halves? Or am I all into my discipleship? Today we mark two other responses, not in the readings. First response is by St. Vincent Ferrer, whom the Church celebrates today on April 5th, a Dominican who, when he was astonished by the Word of God, wanted to live by that Word. He became a preacher of that Word and a member of the Order of Preachers, crisscrossing southern France, even though he was a Spaniard, in order to try to take back those who had gone off to various heresies, like the Albigensians and the Catharists. He was one who, having heard the Word of God, was going to invest his entire life in it. And today, on the Saturday, we have the greatest example of all. The one who, hearing the Word of God, was so astonished that that Word took on our own flesh. Who was one who was courageous enough to stick up for his son all the way, standing at the foot of the cross. So we continue to recognize that Jesus is a lamb led to the slaughter. His people are trying to chop him down in every age because they don't want him to be their Lord. They don't really want him to be their Savior. Let us ask our Blessed Mother and St. Vincent Ferrer to intercede for us, that we might respond not by halves to the Lord, but by being so astonished by what he consistently teaches us, we might conform our entire life to that saving word. Praise be Jesus Christ.